Okay, Chevre, good morning, Boker Tov. We are learning. That's the first sentence, which is important. And we're learning Yoredeyo Simin Kuf Yud. And one of the larger topics of conversation that, excuse me, Yoredeyo Simin Kuf Yud, pardon me, we'll get to Kuf Yud in a few moments. But one of the larger topics of conversation that we've had related to the status of dugim, the status of fish. In particular, we've been speaking about the kashrus of tuna fish, which is found in cans. And as we noted, the OU, based on tshuvas of Rav Schechter, who has this in his Sefer Ginas Egos, the OU is mekal on the tuna fish that's found in cans. That's Beferish in the OU. They say Rav Soloveitchik was Mekel. And we noted that in order to be Mekel on the fish, you have to say a few things. You have to say there's no Isser de Oraisa in terms of identifying the Simanim. That's one thing that you have to say. The Rivash says that there's a Din de Oraisa. You have to identify the simanim in order to be meko. We have to somehow get out of that din d'oraisa, and we also have to say in order to be meko that the din d'rabbanan of chilek doesn't apply. There is a din d'rabbanan that there is a prohibition of certain fish that maybe there's going to be a dag tummy mixed into them. So that type of fish called chilek is usser because of the possibility of the dag tame, that's an isser derabbanon. And in order to permit the tuna, you have to somehow get out of this isser derabbanon of chilek. Now, there are a few things to be said about this isser derabbanon of chilek, which again we encounter here in Kuf Yud Dalet Se'if Yud. One thing that's worth noting is the Shulchan Aruch's expression is that chilek hainu minei dagim ktanim uravim. They are types of fish that are mixed together, meaning that there are some dagim tmeim that get mixed in, and some types of fish will have dagim tmeim, and that is going to be aser. Now, this is only mechudash, the idea that chilek, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, is minei dagim tmeim. It's only a bit of a chiddush because the Gemara has a comment that my chilek, the Gemara on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, what is chilek? Amar Rav Nachman bar Abba, Amar Rav zu solotanis. That apparently there is a particular fish called solotanis, which is usser. Not all fish are subject to the rules of chilek. Now, we know that, we saw yesterday already, the Shach commented that the din of chilek only applies to fish that right now do not have scales, but as they age, they get older, they will have scales. That's what the Shach suggested. And that led to one of the kulas of the OU with respect to tuna fish, that maybe fish which already have scales and is mamish nicker, so the din of chilek doesn't apply. But it's possible to be even more makel and say that the din of chilek is only formulated by one particular fish called sultanis. Maybe the din of chilek does not apply to other fish at all. In the Sefer Chokas bin Yomin on page 126. So the Chokas bin Yomin suggests that l'cha'ora, that's what the Gemara means, but none of the poskim say this. The poskim, when they talk about chilek, like the Shulchan Aruch, it says minei dagim tmeim. It's sort of a kasha on the Shulchan Aruch, how the Shulchan Aruch got this, when the Gemara only says it about sultanis. But the fact is, the poskim are all assuming that this applies to any fish that might have other fish mixed into it, might have tummy fish mixed in. So that is one ha'ara that's worth noting. Another ha'ara that's worth noting, again, in the Chalkas Binyamin on page 126, so Chalkas Binyamin is Reb Feivel Cohen's son, actually his father-in-law is this fellow, Ruby Shron, who is like a significant gvir who owns many of the buildings in the YU community. So Reb Binyamin Cohen, in the Chalkas Binyamin on page 126, he quotes the poskim who say that tuna fish is treif. I remember years ago, we did a YU Purim spiel. And the Purim spiel was trying to figure out stuff that Rav Schechter and Rabbi Tendler will agree upon. Because Rav Schechter and Rabbi Tendler in those days would disagree about like everything. Because Rav Schechter would say it's raining, Rabbi Tendler would say it's sunny. Mamish are disagreeing about everything. Kirchok Mizrach Mimarov. So the one thing that we were able to come up with in the Purim spiel that they agreed upon was whether a brain-dead person is allowed to eat tuna fish. Because according to Rav Schechter, tuna fish is kosher, so you could eat tuna fish. According to, even though brain-dead is not death, but lamaisa, tuna is kosher. According to Rabbi Tendler, so tuna is treif. Right? Tuna is treif. But if you're brain-dead, you're taka dead. So this was the chiddush of the Purim spiel that we came up with, that everyone is masking that a brain-dead person is allowed to eat tuna fish. You could tell, by the way, that in my youth I had a little bit too much time on my hands, although I have to give credit where credit is due. This was Rabbi Danny Rapp's Gewaldika Shtickel Leitzonis. That was his contribution to Judaism. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rav Henkin, Chacham Avadi Yosef, these are major hitters. They aser tuna. They all aser tuna. Now, it's interesting that one of the best rayas that Rav Schechter had for the kula of tuna fish, one of the best rayas came from the dinin, the Gemara, that chilek umen is permitted. But the Gemara on Lamed Daled, in speaking about murayas, Murayas, again, is, we'll encounter this din of the Nexa'if. Murayas is like fish brine. And the fish brine, there's a concern that maybe they'll add yayin to it, and therefore the fish brine is forbidden. So the Gemara says that there is something called Murayas Uman. If you have a professional Murayas maker, so a professional Murayas maker is allowed to... you can trust him the first two times. The first two times that the Marias was made, they won't add wine. If you're an amateur Marias maker, so you're going to add wine even the first two times because the wine makes the Marias much better. But if you're a professional Marias maker, you won't add wine even the first two times. That's what it says in the Gemara Daf Lamed Daled. And the Gemara writes also that Chelek Umen is permitted, which Rav Schechter says means the fishermen are mamish pros, and therefore they tell you that there's no tray fish, there's no dolphin that's mixed in, so therefore they're neman, because chilek umen is permitted. Now we noted in passing yesterday that the Beis Yosef has a taina. Frek the Beis Yosef, how come if the chilek umen is permitted, how come the tour never wrote that? Murayas umen that's permitted, the Torah writes, Murayas umen is mutter. But chilek umen, the fact that the fish has the mixture of the tray fish and the umen, the pro is able to tell you that it's not there, that din does not make it to Shulchan Aruch. Or that din does not make it to the Torah, etc. And the Beis Yosef has a question, v'lo yadati, how come they leave it out? And he says, well, maybe they leave it out because this particular fish, the sultanus, we don't know what it is. Right? Going back to our previous conversation, that maybe the din of chilek is only on a particular fish. And we don't know what that fish is. It's not matzui b'neinu, so therefore it's not a problem. That's the impression you get from the Beis Yosef. However, once Shulchan Aruch says that chilek means all fish, so l'cha'oiran umen should be believed, how come it's left out? So comes along the Drisha. And the Drisha writes, that maybe we don't rely on an umin for something that requires bedika and hevdel. This is the same svara that we say yesterday from the Rivash. By Murayas, I rely on an umin because the shayla of Murayas is, did they mix wine into it or did they not mix wine into it? Right, that's like a regular din in Yerideya, a shayla of Taruvis. So we rely on a kvela, you rely on an umin. It's like the same thing, no? But when you have a shayla on zihui hamin, you have a question about identifying the particular species. So if I understand the drisha properly, again, I'm adding, there's a little bit of Schwartz thrown into this drisha. But if you understand the drisha properly, I think what the drisha is saying is that maybe we don't rely on uman for zihui hamin. Maybe kfela doesn't help for dinim d'oraisa. That's already a shayla at the beginning of Hilchas Taruvis, no? The beginning of Taruvis in Siman Tzadi Ches, we encounter the shayla that all the achrenim have, the shachmataz, and everyone says, how can you believe a kfela if it's a din d'oraisa? If it's a din d'oraisa, if your tam kicker is d'oraisa, how can it be that kfela is neman, right? Frek the Shach, Frek the Taz, and there is, I believe, six answers I give into that Shaila. So I think what the Drish over here is saying is that since it's a Dindoi Rais of Zihui Amin, so you can't rely on the Umin, you can't rely on the Kfela, the Chaora, that's the same idea. However, the Chaora, what the Drisha is saying is very difficult. Because stating Gemara, that you rely on the umin. The Gemara says, chilek umin is mutter, no? So the drisha is bothered. How come it's not quoted in poskim? He says, a svara, if the drisha svara is correct, the Gemara should not have said it. But the Gemara does say it. The Gemara says, chilek umin is mutter. So I don't understand, I don't fully understand the drisha. There is another reason to argue that chilek umin, or let me just say, a ha'ara, though. The Ravid has a different take on chilek that none of the other Rishonim have. Again, I pointed out that, like, Yoni said he's able to get this Ravid on Hebrew books, but Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to buy it from a hole in the wall in Ein Sha'arim. So in the Chidushei HaRavid on Lamed Daled Amid Beis, in the sugya of chilek umin, so the Ravid writes that chilek is a food that's made from dagim ketanim, and the concern of chilek is not that there is a tray fish mixed in. Everyone's going to take the tray fish out. You know how to do that. But the concern is that because these fish have so much shuman in it, they're going to add yayin to the fish. In other words, according to the Ravid, chilek is exactly the same thing as murayas. Right, so for the Ravid, there is no kash at all, d'oraisa or whatever. Because the Ravid is saying that chilek and murayas is mamish the zel berzach. The footnotes on the bottom of this Ravid say that obviously the Ravid had a different gears than the Gemara. Gears was Rabbeinu lo motzasi, but nonetheless, the Ravid ultimately has a different pshat in chilek. So let's go back. The Beis Yosef has a kasha. How come chilek umin is left out? So the drisha had an answer. Maybe it's a din d'oraisa. So we shtel tzu the question of umin at the beginning of Tzadi Ches. And the drisha, though, his explanation doesn't really work because if it's a din d'oraisa, how can the Gemara say you're neman? We said, well, maybe it's a din d'rabbanan entirely for a different reason, based on what it says in the Ravid. Now we mentioned that there are poskim who are machmir on the tuna fish. Rav Moshe Feinstein, heavy hitters in Judaism, no? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Henkin Zecharenu Levracha, Chacham Ovadi Yosef, they're machmir on the tuna fish. What about chilek umin? So I'm not sure. The Mar Makom that Rav Binyamin Cohen gave in the Yabia Omer, it doesn't deal with the din of Umin at all. I'm not exactly sure. I think he probably meant a different shuv in the Yabia Omer. I didn't have the chance to kind of search around for which one he meant. But in Igros Moshe, in Chelek Gimel of Yerideya, Simen Ches, Reb Moshe's shuv is written to Harav HaGoyin Reb Moshe David Tendler. Right? Now you understand what Rabbi Tendler says the tuna fish is treif. So Reb Moshe says, aye, what about Chelek Umin? So he says, the Umin that you have over there in the Gemara is mamesh a professional. But when it comes to being a fisherman, who says they're professionals? Right? How do you become a fisherman? Is there any licensing that's necessary to become a professional fisherman? Are there any tests that's required that you're able to identify the fish? No. These guys have no namonos, says Reb Moshe Feinstein, because there's no certifying agency for fishermen. That's his first point. Second of all, he tainas that in Simen Pei Gimel, in the Simen of Dogim in Yerideya, so we say that you're only Nemon if you can identify exactly which fish it is. In the Simen of Beit Simen Pei Vav, you're not Nemon. A guy isn't Nemon to say these are eggs from an Eif Tahar. The guy is Nemon to say these are eggs from a pigeon dove. If they identify exactly the name of the species, then you're Nemon. But you're not Nemon unless you can identify exactly which species. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, maybe the fishermen aren't certified. And not only are they not certified, mehechatesi, they can identify the particular species that they're dealing with. Now, I don't know. I don't fully understand this either. In Rav Schechter's little essay there in the Ginas Egos, he says, no, of course they can identify. They know the difference between albacore and skipjack and yellowfin. They're all cooked at different temperatures for a different amount of time. It's like ceramics and porcelain. Of course, they are professional umanin. They know exactly what they're doing. So Rav Moshe's vart over there in Chelek Gimel Simen Ches, at least in that first paragraph, I don't fully understand. The last part of the Igros Moshe, Rav Schechter agrees with, that you can't rely on the fact that they have a contract, that they're only selling these particular fish, because whenever you have a contract, people try to fudge within the contract. That part of Rav Moshe makes sense. But l'cha'ora, the best heter for the tuna fish is the Chelek Umin. The Chokas Binyamin on page 126 says another svara why an umin doesn't help. He says that umin only helps when it's a chshash of taruvis. Maybe someone added wine. Then the din of umin helps. But when the issue at hand is a din of hasara, not a din of taruvis, if you know there was an isser there and the shayla is, did they remove the isser? So then there's no heter of umen. It's an interesting svara, no? Interesting svara. But that svara is predicated, so he wants to ask for tuna fish based on that svara. But that svara is predicated on the fact that you know for sure there was dolphin or whatever, some tray fish that's mixed in, and they have to remove it. I don't know that there is, again, I'm not a fisherman, but I don't know that there's any clarity there, that the fish, that the tray fish is mixed in, then there's a shayla of hasara. The distinction between a din of ta'aroves, that we only trust an umen to say that no isser came in, but once there's a cheskas isser, we don't say the isser came out. By the way, the shach entertains that sort of being a tzadi ches in terms of the namonis of kfela. As opposed, right, how can we believe a kfela, for the shach? So the shach in a few lines, I actually like these lines very much. I teach the beginning of Taruvus, I spend time on this. But the Shach says, the Shaila, the reason why we believe a Kfela is because we're believing the person that no Tarfis fell into the food. But if there's a Cheskas Isser on the food, so then Taka, we're not going to believe, right? We're not going to believe the Goy. Yeah, the Shah that everyone asks, that Meseach Lefitumo only helps on dinim d'rabbanan, not on dinim d'oraisa, etc. So the Shas says this distinction, again, the Shas says this distinction between whether we know there is a taruvus of Isser or not. So again, I just wanted to return briefly or not so briefly to the dinim of Chilek and Chilek Uman, which is exceedingly relevant for the halachas of tuna fish, which we all know is certainly mutter for a brain dead person to eat, kayadua. Okay, let's go weiter. So there's a halacha of kivashim. Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yudalet Se'if Yud says if you have kivashim that they sometimes, derech lefa'amim, that they put yayin into it, so that's an iser d'rabbanan of achila. You can't eat the kvashim shederech lefa'amim shenosnim bahem yayin. If there's a chash that they put the yayin into it, so it's aser ba'achila, but it is mutter ba'hana'a. But if you know that everybody in your country puts yayin into the kvashim, if the way they make the pickles and the olives in your country is that everyone puts wine or vinegar into it, so then it is usur not just ba'achila, it's usur ba'hana'a. Okay, so regular kvashim is usur ba'achila, but if you know that in your country they add wine or vinegar, so it's usur even ba'hana'a. This is a gemara on Lamed Chesam Beis. It's a machlokas between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan. Chizkiyah says, biyadua, it's usur even bahana'a. Rabbi Yochanan writes that biyadua, it's mutter. Right? That even if you know that they're adding yayin or chometz, it still remains mutter. Aye, how come murayis is mutter bahana'a? Right? How come murayis is going to be mutter? Sigma has a distinction between murayis and the kvashim. So zayin. But the halacha follows Chizkiyah, that if you know that they put yayin or chometz into the kvashim, so it's usur b'hanoa. Now, what does it mean that they know they put yayin and chometz into the kvashim? So katuv b'rashi, lamid chesam ebeis, shteit in Rashi, if it is that roiv people put it in, havi ki yadua. No? Rashi, again, there's a teeny girsa issue in the Rashi. It's like Rashi four lines up, bottom of Lamed Chesam at base. Rashi writes that the yadua case, where it's usur b'hana'a, is roiv. If roiv of people in your town put it in, then it is usur b'hana'a, kach katuv b'rashi. If you read the Rashb in the Teres Habayis and the Rashb is in his Chedushim and the Torah over here and all the other Rishonim, they say that Yadua has to be more than Rov. Yadua has to be that everybody puts it in. There seems to be a big machlokes HaRishonim about what the word Yadua is. And the Shulchan Aruch clearly does not follow Rashi. You see, according to Rashi, roiv of the people put it in, therefore it's yadua. Nachon? That's what Rashi says. Well, that's really interesting. Roiv of the people put it in, therefore it's yadua. Shulchan Aruch writes, the Rama writes, that if you know for sure that there's somebody in town who doesn't put it in, doesn't put yayin into the kvashim, so you could assume that it's that person. And if it's a roiv, so then the Shulchan Aruch has distinctions about kol deparish, right, versus kavua, etc. But Shulchan Aruch is not assuming that for this din d'rabbanan, rov equals vadai. Rashi seems to be saying that the takana d'rabbanan of kvashim is that even if most people put it in, it's usur b'hana'a. That's what Rashi says. It's clear from the way this din makes it to Shulchan Aruch that the Shita of Rashi is not accepted. Next point. Rambam writes, let's say it's Taka Asr Bahana'a. Let's say in your town, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's Hakol Nosnim Yayin. So it's Asr Bahana'a. So can you do anything with the Kvashim? Someone comes over to you. They give you a gift of pickles. Mamish, right? Not Gus's pickles. Gus is a chashev yid. They give you Giuseppe's pickles. And Giuseppe is not a Jewish name. So they give you a barrel of Giuseppe's pickles. And it's Yadua that they're nice and sham yayin. So it's Asr Bahana'a. Is there anything that you could do? So the Rambam writes, yeah, sure you could do it. What you do is you're Meichrei Kulai Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach Shabbo. Meaning, I sell the pickles at the price of regular kosher pickles that don't have yayin in it. So I tell the guy, I don't even have to tell the guy, by the way, I'm selling you pickles that has yayin nesach. And yayin nesach over here doesn't mean yayin nesach, it means stam yenom, or that random point out. But I don't have to tell the guy, by the way, I'm selling you pickles with yayin nesach into it. I sell pickles. I say, listen, chevra, I'm giving you a discount on the pickles. Today, a special discount. The pickles only cost 99 cents instead of $1.29. Heter gomer. Because your mochro kulo chutz midmei yayin nesach shebo. Now this issue is a machlokas harishonim. If you look in the Torah's Habayis of the Rashba in a few different places, I think the best essay on this is in Bayis Hay on page Samach Aleph, but it also appears in Bayis Gimel. On page, I don't remember, Tzadi Beis or something. The Rashba says this in a couple of places. The Rashba quotes that the Ravid Tainas, that if you know that there is Yayin mixed into the Kvoshim, so then it's going to be Asr Bahana'a, and you cannot sell it Chutz Midmei Yayin Esach Shabai. The Gemara in Ayin Dalet says, if I have taruvus of yayin b'yayin, is there a heter to be meichrei chutz midmei yayin nesach shabon? Comes along the Ravid, and the Ravid says, well, the fact that Chizkiyah tells me that the kvoshim, that vadai has yayin nesach in it, is asr b'hana'a, that means that I don't paskin like Rashbag. That's the vort of the Ravid. And even though the pashtus in the Gemara on Ayin Dalet is that I paskin like Rashbag, and it doesn't matter if it's chavis b'chavis or yayin b'yayin, but says the Ravid in his chidushin on the Ayin Dalet, and it's quoted in the Rashba b'kama v'kama makomos, says the Ravid merhalt neshtfun Rashbag. Chizkiyah tells us that kevashim, that yadua, that they put yayin in it, is asr b'hana'a, no kulas, no nothing. Don't give me any idea of selling it chutz midmei yayin esach shabon. The Rashba himself says, okay, my dear Ravid, I love you like a brother, but you're against my Rebbe, Rabbi Nuyayna, and you're against me. So I love you, but I don't paskin like you. And I have a Yerushalmi that says, I have a Yerushalmi that writes Beferish. The Gra quotes this Yerushalmi also on the Rashba has on Daf Samach Dalet. Yerushalmi writes that, excuse me, I said it a little bit backwards. Yerushalmi writes like the Ravid. Yerushalmi says, in the case of Kvashim, it is going to be Aser Behana'a, and selling a Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach doesn't help. But comes along the Rashba, and the Rashba says, since our Gemara sounds against the Yerushalmi, so I don't paskin like the Yerushalmi. The Ravid would apparently paskin like the Yerushalmi, not like our Gemara. So that's the issue again, as presented in the Rashba in Bayis Hay, Samach Aleph Amid Aleph, Samach Aleph Amid Beis. Okay, now.
Rebbe?
Yes.
My chavrus and I were wondering, isn't the case that the Ravid is, the case of the Krushim, like the way the Ravid quotes the Chumrah, he says that since the wine is machshir, the food, so that's why we have to treat it as if the entire thing.
Ravid compares it to mixing wine with water or something.
Yeah. Right. So could it be that the Ravid would think that Eina Chinami Halacha L'Maisi would pass in like Rashi Bag in the case of Yayin B'Yayin? Like, it's not exactly the same case. That here you might have a Chumrah because the wine that you're adding is doing something more than just mixing wine with other wine.
It's like milsing tam to some extent. The Gemara is only talking about a taruvis of min bimino, and the Raivid is speaking about a case of min bimino, or the like. So that's probably interesting. Then the Rashba's essay about the Raivid, he doesn't make that point.
Correct. In a chinami. We're just sort of wondering,
it seems correct. Hadvarim nirim nechonim, but I don't know why. I don't know why the Rashbam and he doesn't do the Ravid. Okay, the complication in this is as follows, gentlemen. There is a Mordechai, an Isser v'Heter. The Rama quotes them, who connect our Gemara to a famous case in Ksubis about the Machbo. Remember, there's a din that a Shavuya is Asura L'Kohen. If a woman is captured, so the assumption is that the goyim who captured her did what they wanted with her, and they had relations, and she became Asura L'Kohen. So there's a din that a Shavuya is Asura L'Kohen. However, let's say there's one cave that you know for sure the goyim didn't get to that cave. So when all of the Shavuyais come together, since there is one cave that the goyim zicher didn't get to, so that one cave is mekel on all of the shvuyos. I believe when Reb Shlomo dove kahana, he was mekel on all of the women after the Holocaust, that they're mutaros al kohen. How can you be make on all the women after the Holocaust, Mutar Sukayan? The women were Shavuyos, no? They're captured. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, could have done with them whatever they wanted. So, Hishtel Tzu, this Sugyan Ksubis, which is Paskin and Evan Ezer, Simon Vov, Simon Zion, that a Shavuya, when there's a Machvo, when there's one group who for sure wasn't captured, so then, and they all come to ask the Shaila at one time. So in that case, we are Mekel on the Shavuya, because it's a Machvo. Based on this idea, the Rama paskins, that if you know for sure that there is one person in town who does not add wine to his pickles, you know for sure that one of the pickle makers doesn't add wine, so therefore, you can connect it to the sugya about machvo, and then it can be mutter. That's what the Rambo says. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz jumps up and down, and he spits water in nickels. And the Taz says, this whole Rambo is like, requires pulling out whatever hair you have left. Because, says the Taz, you know what? In this case, we know who the guy is who doesn't add wine to his pickles. We know that's Giuseppe the guy over there. He doesn't add wine, but all the other guyim do add. So how can you shtel to the case of Machva when we don't know? The case of Machva is fundamentally a svek sveka. Machva is, you don't know which hiding place they came from. Im timtzomoa, they came from a hiding place that the goy got to. Mehechatesi, the goyim raped this woman. So it's a svek sveka. Over here, it's not a svek sveka. Because over here, you know who the guy is. You know which guy, you know it's Giuseppe who doesn't add wine to the pickles. That's what the Taz asks. So the Shach says, dear Taz, what on earth are you talking about? Our case is Dafka talking about a case where you don't know who the guy is who doesn't add. You know for sure there is some guy in Shtat who doesn't add wine to his kfashim, but you don't know who that guy is. The Shach says this out in Se'if Katin Yud Ches, and in the Nekudas HaKesef on the Shach, he elaborates on this more. The Taz has a further kasha. The Taz says, how can you shtel to the din of machvo? The din of machvo is a din b'di'evet. The woman comes to you. She's not sure. Am I muteris l'kohen? Am I not muteris l'kohen? So it already happened. So you can't, right? So then we can say svek svek on the dinam of machvo, etc. However, in our case, we're talking about l'chatchila. Are you allowed to buy the pickle? Are you not allowed to buy the pickle? Right? If you'd already have the pickle, so that would be a bidiyah of it. But we were talking about buying the pickle l'chatchila. That's the Taz's kasha. So the Shach answers, or the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef answers, and I have to admit, I don't understand this. He says, this case is also b'di'evet because the pickle is already made. Right? They already made the pickle. I don't fully understand that Nekudah and the Shach. All the Achronim quote the Shach. They don't quote the Taz. The Taz is mamish, very hard to understand. The Taz is saying that the case of Machvo, there's one advantage, one disadvantage. Our case is one advantage, one disadvantage. It's like offsetting penalties in football, something like that. I don't really understand. I couldn't get my head around what the Taz is saying. All of the postgame follow the Shach over here, that the Shach basically says that this, that the Dimyan to Machvo is because in this case, we do not know which guy added, which guy does not add. We know for sure some guy does not add wine. I don't know who that guy is. And Imtim Saloma, by the way, that we're more makel over here. It could be that we're more makel over here because the din of achshash of stam yenom is a super duper chumra to begin with. Right? That is all included here in that's all included over here in the shach and the nekudas hakesef, etc. So that's one point. The next point that comes up is the dinim in Kuf Yud. Actually, Rav Nochum Rabinowitz, Zichron Olav Rav, he was just Nifter. He was the Rosh Hashiva Yeshivat Birkat Moshe Malei Adumim. Rav Rabinowitz wrote his doctoral thesis on this sugya. Rav Rabinowitz has a doctorate and had a doctorate in mathematics from Hopkins. That's when he learned in Neir Israel by Rav Flitner, by Rav Ruderman. I'm Amish getting drunk. So Rav Rabinowitz wrote his doctoral dissertation on trying to explain mathematically the distinction between Kavua and Parish. Okay, let's talk about the case of Kavua and Parish. This like makes you dizzy when you do Yeridei Kufiyud, but Baruch Hashem, it comes up at the end of the year and you realize that the Bechina is happening soon and you don't get so into it. But let's say you have a Taruvus. You know that there's a treif animal in this mixture. You have 10 animals, right? One animal is treif. So the din is, or 10 pieces of meat. You know one piece of meat is treif. You have a location, a goy's home, a Jew's home, whatever it is. 10 pieces of meat, 9 are kosher, 1 is treif. If I walk into that house and I take out a piece of meat, so that's called ko kavua kemachta machtza dami, and in that situation, I have no heter to eat the meat. Because, mehechatesi, this is kosher meat, maybe it's treif meat. It's kavua. I took the meat from the location where it was. But if it's parish, let's say I'm walking down the street There are nine kosher butcher shops on the street and one Schrafer butcher shop on the street. I find a piece of meat outside, so then I can shtel on rov. I say, oh, nine are kosher, nine of the shops are kosher, one shop is treif. So I follow the rov, that the rov says this piece of meat is kosher. So kavua means I go into the store. In that case, it's treif. Even though nine of the pieces of meat are kosher, but I can't rely on the rov, kavua. But kode parish, meruba parish. If it's not in the store, if it came out of the store, so then I assume that it's kosher, then I shtel on the rov. And the Rama basically invokes this din with respect to the kvashim, that if you have a town that you know for sure according to the Rama means 100%, that some people add wine or vinegar to their kvashim, and other people don't add wine or vinegar to their kvashim. So if you go into the goy's house, you go into the store, the shachreitz, it's not only the house, it's the store, also the shachreitz. If you go into the store, so kol kavoy kamachza machzan, it's treif. If it came out of the store, you say kol deparish. Now mathematically, by the way, this lachayr makes no sense, no? Because it's 9-1 in both cases. So this is why Rav Rabinowitz wrote his doctoral dissertation, to try to explain mathematically. By the way, I don't understand any math. My math knowledge basically goes through high school, and after high school, I didn't really take any math classes. I fulfilled my quantitative requirement in those days in YU by taking statistics. I didn't really take any math. But that's what Rabinowitz wrote about. Years ago, I was the editor of the Beis Yitzchak, the year that Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung was nifter. And we asked Rav Rabinowitz, who was a Talmud of Rav Hirschsprung, to write a Shtickle Torah. So he wrote a Shtickle Torah about the Lashonos HaRambam in the Sugya of Kavua, Kemachza Omachza, that the Lashonos of the Rambam indicated what he wrote in his doctorate. He said, my Rebbe Rav Hirschsprung was very into precise reading of the Rishonim. He knew it all by heart, etc. So I'll give you precise readings of Rambam that tell you that I'm right. That was the Shtickle Torah he wrote in the Beis Yitzchak that I edited in my youth. So again, these are din of kol kavua versus the din of parish. So the problem that the Taz addresses is in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Se'if Vav, there is a case where it's a gezeira shema yikach min kavua. Let's say a Jew goes into a store and takes the piece of meat out, right? Or someone goes into the store. We know the meat was in the store. Someone goes in and takes the meat out. So in that case, you can't rely on the fact that nine pieces of meat are kosher and one piece of meat is treif. You can't rely on the roiv. It's a gezeira, shema yikach min kavua. If the meat came out, you know for sure the meat was in the store and it came out. So then we have a gezeira, shema yikach min kavua. So the Taz asks over here, how come we don't follow the gezeira? How come over here we don't make the gezeira shema yikach min kavua? And the shach basically says, come on. But that's not a kasha. That's not a kasha at all, says the shach. Because over here the goy took it out. And when the goy takes it out, it's like pirish memela. Pirish memela, there's no concern of shema yikach min kavua. That's what he says. One of the other achronim on the page, I think it's the Mati Yehonasan or the Yad Ephraim, one of them says the same Shtickle Torah that we said a minute ago. It could be, this is a unique kula by Stam Yenam. It's Shaya that by Stam Yenam, we have more kulas than we have by other dinim, because Stam Yenam is really a chshash rachok, no? What are you worried about? The guy is going to, maybe because the guy owns the wine, the guy was menasich the wine. It's like so rachok, it's so unlikely, so maybe that's why we're making. Okay, those are the dinim of kavua and machvo. These are mamish, like it's weird that in Kuf Yud Daled, we're dealing with like all these little details, and suddenly in the Ramah, we end up with these major shas sugyas. But that's the way Shulchan Aruch works sometimes. Okay, let's take a deep breath. I want to try to finish the siman very briefly. Murayas. Murayas is actually a girsa issue in Rashi The Rashi is on, I think, on Lamed Hey on the base, where it comes up in the Mishnah the first time. One girsa is that Murayas is Shemen Shol Dogim, and the other girsa is that Murayas is Shuman Shol Dogim. The Bach changes the girsa, right, on Chavtes on the base. Rashi writes it's Shemen Shol Dogim. The Bach changes the girsa to Shuman Shol Dogim. Over here in Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarish, whoever wrote the translations of terms in the Shulchan Aruch, it probably is not the Rama. It was probably some printing in Amsterdam in 16 whatever who had added the words. But Murayas is Shemen Shol Dogim. That's what it says over here. So the din is that Murayas, if they add the Yayin, it's Aser. If the Yayin is more expensive than the Murayas, it's Mutter. If you know for sure that they, in your community, they don't add Yayin to the Murayas, you're allowed to buy it. This comes from the Rashba in the Teres Habayis. And the Rashba tells us that basically what we're saying is that Murayas is unlike the Gezerah of Pas Akum and Bishol Akum and Gevinas Akum. Those are Gezerahs Midrabonon that apply everywhere. Murayas is not a Gezerah Drabonon that applies anywhere. Murayas is a chshash of... Murayas is a chshash that maybe they added Yayin into it. Therefore, if you know that in your community they didn't add Yayin into it, so the Murayas is mutter. There are... there are two different types of Isurim that are found in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. There's Isurim Machmas Atman, Isurim Machmas Taruvis. Sometimes Chazal decide that something, even though it seems to be an Isur Machmas Taruvis, it becomes an Isur Machmas Atman. By Cholov, for example, no? Cholov, I hope we'll get there next week. By Cholov Akum, the real concern is that maybe a tiny bit of a Cholov Behemah Tmei is mixed in. But the pashtus is that cholov is usher b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, right, against the pre-chadash. The pashtus is that cholov is usher b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, because once Chazal say that maybe they add a little cholov tamei into it, so they assume that any cholov that doesn't have Jewish oversight is by definition treif. It's no longer treated like an iser taruvis. It becomes an iser machmas atzmo. The chiddush of the Rashba and the Teres Habayis over here is that Murayas is an Isra Machmas Taruvis. La halacha lamaisa. Murayas is going to be mutter in communities where it's not darkam loses v'toycha yayin. In those communities, the Murayas is going to be heter gomor. Again, have to remember, when I said Shi'urim on Avodah Zarah, so I took one book out of the YU library. There's an academic Talmud book on Avodah Zarah. Have to remember the name of the author. So he actually does a very good job of organizing all of the dinim in Mishnayis and in the Tosefta, comparing them. That's why academic Talmud works. It's not what we usually do in the Beis Medrash. But he compares the dinim based on the sequence of halachos in terms of which are isor machmas taruvis and which are isor machmas atzmo. That's a very lumdisha question, like in particular with respect to cholov, right? If cholov is an isor machmas taruvis, so if I live in a community where there are no treif animals that give milk, no? So then there's no isor of cholov. Doesn't apply. The pre-chodesh paskin that way, but 99.9% of poskim don't follow that pre-chodesh. Mirtashem, next week I want to tell you some of my stories about that pre-chodesh. Okay, so that's the din in Se'if Yud Aleph, that Murayas is aser b'makayim, that it's darko lases l'tocho yayin. It is interesting, just as a ha'ara, that Shulchan Aruch does not quote that Murayas of a Umin is mutter. The same kasha of Beis Yosef asked, how come we don't say Chiluk Umin is mutter, right? We can ask that shaila on the Shulchan Aruch, Right? It's befamish in Gemara that Murayas is Umminu's mutter, and there's a difference between time one and two and time three, etc. Kozer lo katuv b'shulchan aruch. Dafin gut vashtan and farvos. Right? Why is it? Why would the Shulchan Aruch not quote a befamish adin in the Gemara? I don't know. Right? Again, maybe the pshat is something along the lines, I don't want to say this, but when the Rambam tells me the Ring of Tzadi Ches, if I'm right that the din of Kfela is modeled after the din of Umin in the Gemara, so then, just like the Rambam tells me at the beginning of Tzadi Ches, that we don't rely on a Kfela, Ken Zayn, that the idea is that we lack the notion of a proper Uman. Maybe something like Reb Moshe was saying in that tshuva there in Chelak Gimel Simin Ches. What's your certification agency? I don't know. Again, I'm just throwing it out. Hello, Gavarhu, but Shulchan Aruch does not mention this distinction between Murayas Uman and Murayas not of an Uman.
Rebbe?
Yes, sir.
So my chavrus and I also noticed this. He quoted that the Chalkas Ben Yomin said that maybe the Shulchan Aruch is like being somech on the Rashba, that like people don't really do this, so halacha lemaisa, you wouldn't need it anyway. So we thought like the shortcut with that is, but he still
but
needs
what
to
about
tell you
because it quotes the din that if it's done
right. So yeah. We saw this year the Maharam distinguishes between the way the Torah learns the Gemara and the way Rashi learns the Gemara. So it was very interesting. If the Shulchan Aruch were to learn like the Tur, so then he's actually very misleading, because the Tur thinks that you put wine in the Murias to improve the Murias. So
yeah,
if all I have is the fact that it's more expensive, that in and of itself isn't the only thing I need to make it mutter. I would need to have Parishon, Vesheni, and Uman, according to the Tur. But Rashi learns, Zakta Maharam, that you're just doing it. Rashi thinks like the wine ruins it. The reason you're doing it is because you want to make more money. So according to Rashi Taka, it's true that if the wine is more expensive, you're never going to put it in. It's not perfectly glut, because even according to Rashi,
I don't know. It's a little too complicated. My preference is to stay with the kasha rather than give like a very fakfekshta answer, but. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. There is a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara asks that maybe I have to be worried about the Murayas that they passed by a certain location where the wine is cheap. Maybe I have to worry about that. So the Gemara says, I'm not worried about that because there's Akuli Upshuri, meaning that in that location they couldn't dock because the waters are too... snow filled, the water is not so navigable. That's why you don't have to worry about that, about Akko. Right? The Gemara says there's a boat of Murayas that comes to the shore of Akko. Sereb Abba has to guard it. Frekli Gemara, that maybe they passed by Tsur. So the Gemara says, no, they couldn't have passed by Tzur because there's Ikule Upishuri. This is on Lamed Daled, Lamed Beis. They couldn't have passed by Tzur because there's all these concerns. And there's a whole discussion in the postgame. Do you have to be worried if there are communities where the wine is not expensive? Do you have to be worried that maybe the Murayas is going to be Osir? And there's a whole discussion in the tour. The Beis Yosef has a kash on the tour. The Taz, just very briefly, the Taz uses it like it's his job in life to defend every tour. That's why his sif is called Turei Zahav. He tries to defend every tour. So the Taz over here also tries to defend the tour. I don't know if it's kedai to go into. If anyone is interested in going into that, we can afterwards. But adkan. The last din over here is Karkom. Karkom is some sort of saffron. The Rashba in the tshuva that we have says that he wouldn't eat saffron because he's worried about the zilaf of yayin. In a different tshuva that the Shach quotes, it's unbelievable. The Shach had such betiyas between different printed editions of the tshuvas HaRashba, no? So the Shach writes in that the Rashba in a different tshuva is worried about a different concern, that there are chutim of basar that's mixed into the karkom, that there's going to be some pieces of treif meat that is mixed in. Lemaisa, the Rashba was machmir on this. Lemaisa, no one today is machmir on it. So the kasha is, how come no one is machmir? And the Shach and Oschaf Aleph works very hard. How come no one is machmir on the karkum? And the Shach has suggestions that the Rashba knew, or in the Rashba's community, when they would put yayin in, they put a lot of yayin in our communities, even if they put yayin in, they put a little bit of yayin in. In terms of the basar, the Shach has a number of suggestions. One of his suggestions is, because this comes up in Yerdei Pezayin, that's why we like it. So one of the suggestions of the Shach is that the karkoim has meat, but the meat is very dry. The meat is old, it's dry, it's like beef jerky. And old, dry, beef jerky type of meat is not going to be nice and tame at all. That's why it's not going to be a problem for us. In the time of the Rashba, the karkoim used to have moist meat. And that's why the Rashba was zahir. In our times, no one is machmir because our karkom has very beef jerky-like hard meat. The Noida Yehuda already does not like this idea. The Pesachei Tshuva there in Simen Pei Zayin says that the case of drying, that drying loses the tam, is not on basar. The case of when something is dry, it loses its shame, it loses its iser. It's talking about the oros, the skin. Right? The skin is different than the meat itself. The skin is derived apparently from a separate pasuk. Pasuk says espesarai or something, according to the Midrash Halacha. So therefore, the Noida Yehuda distinguishes between the dry meat, which is usser, and the dry skins, which is going to be mutter. It's clearly against the Shach. The Shach is mako even on the dried meat. This is a big issue that comes up in Kashrus today with carmine. No? Carmine is a coloring that's added to many foods that comes from certain dried bugs. You take the guf habug and you dry it, and then you use it as a dye. So the kashrus agencies discuss at length the status of the carmine. Do you hold that yovesh ke'etz can be a kula even on basar, or is yovesh ke'etz only a kula on the oros? This is also part of the shayla of gelatin. No, it's famous that Reb Chaim Ozer is a chayin l'avracha was making on the gelatin. Reb Baron Cutler was machmer on the gelatin. Baron Cutler encouraged Reb Shimon Eider to oversee a kashrus run of the gelatin. The Moshe Feinstein treats gelatin like a suffix iser. The issue of gelatin is that it was at one point yavish ke'etz, but the gelatin is actually not coming from the basar or from the ar. The gelatin is coming from the atzamos. No? The bones of a treif animal are ground after they're completely dried, and then the bones, after they're completely dried and ground, they use it, they reconstitute it as gelatin, which adds certain texture to foods, etc. The minig in America, like Rav Aaron Cutler's or Machmer gelatin, the minig in Eretz Yisrael, at least by the Stam Rabbanut, has been always to be Mekon gelatin. This is one of the distinctions between Rabbanut Mahadrin and plain Rabbanut, is whether you have ice cream, whether the gelatin is going to be kosher. Gelatin is a major ingredient, apparently, in soft ice cream. The kosher soft ice creams apparently are nowhere near as geschmack because they don't have gelatin. But the issue with gelatin is probably more similar to the issue of the oros that are dried. Atzamos and oros are probably the same. Basar is different, although Rav Aaron Cutler in his Shtikl Taira tried to distinguish between the oros that are dried and the atzamos that are dried. They're learned from different sources, etc. That's why Rav Aaron assered the gelatin, or one of the reasons that Rav Aaron assered the gelatin. Halacha l'maaseh, the pashtus is that certainly if you have gelatin in a medicine, which is not derech achila at all. People get very nervous about taking gel caps. No? Gel caps is you have a medicine. It's not achila. You're not eating it. You're swallowing it. That's not really eating. So b'kahai gavna, the pashta says, even if you're machmir on gelatin, like Rav Aaron Cutler, but kenzain, that's only by real achila. It could be that just by bliya, just by taking the gel cap and swallowing it, l'cha'ora, there should be no problem. I had this idea many years ago. I remember Rabbi Danny Stein published an article in the Beis Yitzchak many years ago trying to be makal on the gelatin. I think he called this article, like you'll never be able to find it. He called this article, Five Ha'aros Chashuvos. That's like the title of his article. No one will ever find it. But he was... He thought you can be meiko on the gelatin. I think Rav Shechter felt that me'ikar had, and he's right. The minig in America is that we don't give kashrus certification on gelatin. Okay, gentlemen, Galina, I'd like to continue share next week on Monday. And we'll pick up from there. Yoni, I read your email. I'm in the process of looking over the Tosis again to see if you're right. I did not forget about it.
Okay, thank you.
I did not forget about it.
One and all. Good Shabbos, one and all.
Good Shabbos, everyone. Thank you for coming and learning.
Good Shabbos,
Chevra. Take care.